Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Darren, how are you again?
Woo-hoo. Recording in progress. How's it going, Darren? That was a very Irish voice of
mine.
Now, you've shaved your head. We had a conversation a little bit about this before we got off, we came on board or online. And what I want to know is, because you've less hair now, are you receiving better, higher quality data? Because I still get faxes and they're fucking really bad quality. Really bad quality.
Faxes.
Faxes, yeah.
Well, it's an experiment because I haven't done it like this before. Uh-huh. So, but supposedly that's how it works. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Because I wore a helmet for years with two aerials and I fucking never got as much data.
Darren, I'm forever telling him that while we're on a podcast that he probably shouldn't be slurping drinks.
I'm not slurping. I didn't slurp that drink.
You know, here we are. And it's a mug of him, look. It's a picture of him on the mug.
And it says intuitive prophet down the bottom. It's Renee Morel Brown takes these queer photos of me every year and then makes me a mug for Christmas.
Oh, dear. Okay. So we want to talk more, Darren. That last episode was amazing and I really liked how we ended that and just gave some clear guidelines to people about how to what to do. And it's actually not as big as it sounds like. You don't have to make massive changes, but 100% anyone who hasn't listened to that should absolutely go and listen to the previous podcast with Darren.
Well, so you've got to say what the massive changes are about. You know, it's about with your food
intake
and to be able to move towards a better, more vital vitality
life. Yeah.
And perhaps longevity, as much as we can never control the longevity of our lives. I think it's about how we were able to make it simpler. Darren was able to make it simple about what are the little things we can do every day to start to have a cleaner life.
Yeah. So now that we've talked about that last time, what we want to do today, slurping you through. What we want to do today is talk a little bit about what gets in the way of that life force, that energy, that vitality. And specifically today, I want to go down the rabbit hole of things like medications and pharmaceuticals, different illnesses, vaccines. I also want to talk about supplements because I think that I just want to see what the difference is between taking the food from its natural source versus supplements as well. So I don't know where you want to start so that there's a natural progression towards I suppose what we need to talk about. Where do you think we need to start in talking about all of that, Darren?
Well, the father of modern medicine, Hippocrates, everyone knows the famous saying of his where he says, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. I mean, everyone knows the saying in that form, but probably a better translation of it is actually simply let food be thy remedy and remedy be thy food. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think the word medicine came out of, it could have been, was it the North American Indians or South American Indians? It actually was derived from one of their words.
We'll find out in a sec.
And it had something to do with, what was it now?
Medicine.
It had less to do with something that you took and more to do with some type of change that you made inside of you. And that's where that word originally came from. And I'll have to go back and find that and have a look and I'll let you know. But of course, we know what today's meaning of medicine is, and that's to apply, in a general sense, pharmaceuticals or some type of surgical intervention. Mm-hmm. And I suppose a good question is to ask, well, why do we do that? Why do we do that? And there's a fundamental split within humanity, within the consciousness of certain schools of thought in humanity. And there are those who feel and believe that we are from nature. Nature is the perfect blueprint. When you look at nature, when you really drill down and you really study nature, when you go down into the details of the physiology of the human body and the workings of the cell and how a plant works and how a plant grows and how it captures nutrients and how it's symbiotic with all these organisms around it and how it, I mean, when you drill down into the beauty and the majesty and the genius of nature, you see that there is not one tiny detail that is missing. Like you go down, you drill down into the tiniest of details and they're all congruent. Mm-hmm. They're all coherent with each other. And so if that is a structure of the most magnificent design, right, it's a structure of energy, and energy is information, and consciousness utilizes information and consciousness creates information by building the structure. I mean, there is consciousness in all that. And that consciousness is far beyond us. Far, far beyond us. Mm. I mean, we can't even comprehend it.
No.
Really, in its, you know, we can only comprehend small parts of it. And so, and the fact that it works seamlessly together, you know, as a whole, that we kind of like interfere with in our ignorance, and that interference creates the disruption to the harmony, to the balance. And that's ultimately what is what creates, you know, harm, you know, and destruction to the balance of systems, which always seek to rebalance themselves and reorient themselves in or with those new conditions, so that the effects that we see as a result of that interference is always the result of the consciousness or the life element within those systems seeking to reassert and bring them, reinsert control and bring themselves back into a state of harmony again. And why harmony? Because it perpetuates life. But life has one prime directive, and that is to preserve itself. Right? Why would it do anything else? Mm-hmm. Right, it is only consciousness in its separation from life and in its abstraction from life, in its distortions, that would seek to end life. And it only seeks to end life because it equates with life suffering. It equates with life, the pains and distortions that you know, in the sensations that it feels, you know, with its consciousness melded with those life energies, you know, with the vital energies of its physical form. It equates, you know, suicide or ending of life with a cessation of suffering. What it doesn't understand is that it is the nuclei of consciousness that is creating it all in the first place. So you can't escape yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, the one common denominator in everything is you. So you can't escape yourself ever.
So yeah. So what you're saying?
All you can do is work on yourself.
Even if you remove an eyeball, you're still you. Even if you remove an arm, you're still innately you. You know, you're always just you. This spiritual being in this physical vessel, right?
Yeah. Even if you remove yourself from the physical body, what remains
is still you. So therefore. You know, I liken what's going on like in the world at the moment with pharmaceutical companies, vaccines. Like, it's kind of crazy. There seems to be three groups. There's the group that are pro. Look, these people are in labs and they're there trying to save our lives, right?
Yep.
And that's driven by fear, you know, control. And then there's the ones that are completely the other end, which is probably like yourself, that is like, nope, we just need to understand nature. We just need to follow what nature's telling us. And then there's the ones in between that are like, oh, fuck, which way do I go? Do I go this way or do I go that way? And all will have a compelling argument, do you know what I mean, as to why they should go the way they're going. You know, the way, like, for me, I kind of find it a bit comedic. I kind of think like, this is crazy. What is this? Is crazy. Can people not see what is going on. You don't have to delve too far in your research to understand that, you know, this is not what's happening. You know, so people go, I often see online, oh yeah, but you know, we had polio up until we had a vaccine to save, to sort out polio, and you know, but people don't understand what actually really
propaganda.
Propaganda. And what actually really sorted out polio was not a fucking vaccine. You know what I mean? But you tell that to someone and they're like, oh no, well, you don't know what you're talking about, blah 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 blah. And
it's
like,
just afraid you're jumping into the middle of the
conversation. I understand. I totally understand that, right? I totally understand. But I'm just trying to, if this is what the podcast is going to be about, then let's talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
I may be jumping in.
We need to. So what I'm trying to say is that I get that we're going to come to that. We're going to talk about vaccines, but we want to get to the basics of why, what's going on in terms of what Darren's just said, is that we need to start with the basics first to work into that, to see what medicines actually do, how they shift the consciousness or the structure of the form at a basic level
I think what I'm trying to say is, can we look at it as three categories? Category one, category two, and then how Darren sees it, and maybe approach the argument or the point from that point of view.
Well, that's a
depending. Mitch was describing the other stream. I did say, you know, society basically divides itself into two streams. Those that believe that the nature within us is intelligent enough and capable enough, given our observance of the cosmos and the planet, right? That it's capable of dealing with these issues within us when we understand its laws and live by them. And the other stream, which is saying that, well, we need all these things because the life within us isn't capable, and it's dumb, or it's faulty, it's flawed in some way. And without these things, we wouldn't be able to survive.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that that's what they're actually saying?
That's what I've.
Well, I think there's because people fear there is this. We have been heavily indoctrinated for lives, you know, for decades, for centuries, for lives, and it's a spiritual problem as much as it is a problem in our sciences. By, you know, people don't trust the wisdom and intelligence of the life forces within us. They're not even aware that life force is a thing, that life force exists. They think that somehow we take in food like a car takes in petrol, and there's a combustion of materials in there that allows the cells to keep working. And because we have a brain, then the natural process of the working of the cells to the combusting of materials, basically from the food that we eat, consciousness emerges because that's the natural function of the activities of the brain, and that consciousness has emerged because the body has grown so complex, you know, the organism has grown so complex that we need it to facilitate the workings of the nervous system.
Really?
Right? Yet it doesn't explain really what consciousness is, and the higher faculties and functions that emerge as a result of its command over the being.
I think that's so foreign to me that people would see it that way. Do you know what I mean? Like you just said, do you think people really see that way, that life is flawed in some way, that there's that nature?
Well,
I feel like that to me is so foreign.
I think that
well, they
that,
have to.
Really?
I mean, if you don't believe that your body can heal an infection without going to take an antibiotic, then you're going to take an antibiotic. And in the process, you might stop the infection in the cut, but you also damage the microbiome of all the different microbiomes that the body has, not only the gut microbiome. But you have the microbiome.
Anybody else out there sitting out there? Because the definition of the word antibiotics, just in case people don't know, means anti-life. Biotica is life. Yep. So it's anti-life. Yep. So wouldn't we know then that the more, you might be able to correct me on this, but the more antibiotics we take, the less we are able to fight disease.
Yes.
And so, therefore, wouldn't people be out there thinking, but fuck, hang on a minute, if I don't take an antibiotic and I got a cut and I got a, I got a wound and it's infected and it's, it's going to become gangrenous and kill me. I mean, that's what we're told, right? So, wouldn't people be out there thinking, okay, so then if I get a wound, so I shouldn't take any antibiotics, I should drink a juice or what? Do you know what I mean? How do you lean into that?
I remember when I was a kid that mum would get dad would get a bucket of scalding hot water with salt and a piece of cotton wool and wash out the wound.
Yeah, we did that too.
Me too.
Right? And once you cleaned out the foreign matter, because the infection is always only the removal of foreign matter, you get a migration of white blood cells to the area, which gather up and decompose anything foreign to the body. Because if it's foreign to the body, it interferes with function. And it starts to break it down and decompose it. And the pus being ejected from that wound is that the breakdown, the death of the white blood cells and the breakdown of that matter, and therefore its subsequent removal from the body. And so then it cleans up, it cleans itself up, mm-hmm. right? That's all you need to do. The problem is that while that's going on, people are continually polluting their bodies and making it harder for the body to fight the infection because anytime you eat food that is not natural to the body, you create an inflammatory immune response in the digestive tract. And so the body is continually fighting an inflammatory immune response in its own digestive tract instead of fighting the wounds that we create. And it can't do both very well. And so most infections get worse because of the way we are eating. And in fact, because of the fact that we're just eating, when in fact, if you fasted when you got a wound and you took out the foreign matter by cleaning it, it would heal itself quite well. Okay. And I have done that very thing.
Because like we said at the end of the last podcast, if we're eating the dead food and the less natured food, it takes so much of our life force to process that. And if we've got an infection at the same time, we can't be doing both. We're using all of our life force to do one or the other. It can't be both. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, not all of it, but a lot of it. And you don't have enough to affect healing. I mean, ultimately, that's also why we scar. We scar because the body can't recreate the tissues as they were in their perfect form before. And that is because a lack of overall quality in nutrition and too much toxemia in the body and a devitalized system.
Right. So what are the antibiotics doing then? Why should we not take them? What are they doing?
Well, they are. They have a specific form which attacks certain other forms of life. So that's why there are different types of antibiotics because they target different life expressions. But remember, life functions by means of self-preservation, and we are an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So, in the same way that me being here at the Permaculture Research Institute and growing food for the last several years and watching a regenerating landscape. You see a forest regenerate itself by basically on its own principles. If left to its own devices, the forest will regenerate itself, mm-hmm. Given other conditions that it needs, but it will regenerate itself. Just the same with any life process. So does the pasture and so does our body. Mm-hmm. So because the fundamental programming of life is to repair, mm-hmm. right, to regenerate, to regrow, to move towards a perfect type. It is an evolutionary process, an evolutionary principle. I mean, you just have to follow the evolution of and see that. And see the increase in complexity of forms and see the different faculties that emerge as consciousness grows, mm-hmm. as it develops. So, forget where I was going with all that.
We were talking about antibiotics and what they actually do in the body.
Yeah, that's right. So we can see that, oh, that's right, there is this ecosystem, right, where all of these organisms are working together symbiotically. And so the plant grows in soil, and the soil is full with a myriad, you know, of different types of organisms, microorganisms that support the health and life of that plant. Right, they interface with its roots, they interface over its body, over its leaves, over its stem, right? And they provide an ecosystem that protects the plant and nourishes the plant. We are the same, right? 50% of the Earth's biomass is microorganisms, right? Bacteria and such. And there's also viruses and there's fungi and there's parasites and all these types of things all work symbiotically. So we are like the plant. We walk across the ground, we interact with the garden, we interact with pets and all this type of stuff. There are organisms around us all the time. We have more microbial DNA in our bodies than we have actual human DNA. There are more microbial cells than there are human cells. Wow. So to try and poison microbes, to be neurotic about microbes, is to be neurotic about life itself. Mm-hmm. Because, and you are literally neurotic about life itself, because these microbes are the emissaries of the lower life force stratas, which actually provide for the proper nourishment and the proper detoxification of our bodies. So when you take them out of balance by the things that you eat and the poisons that we ingest, right, because, you know, the wrong types of foods encourage the proliferation of the wrong type of ecosystems. Mm-hmm. And so that can take their bodies out of balance. But then we directly take in poisons, antibiotics being one of them, right? Alcohol is another. Many pharmaceuticals are the same and drugs are the same. They're basically poisons which damage that microbiome. And just like when you – if you throw pesticides on a plant, mm-hmm. pesticides work by damaging destroying or killing organisms, but they don't just kill the organisms you're targeting. They kill indiscriminately other organisms and the microbiome associated with the plant. So the plant then also becomes weaker. And that's what we see. We see plants that are not grown with pesticides and herbicides and, you know, artificial fertilizers become weaker, genetically weaker, and continually need those inputs in order to survive. Otherwise, nature just wipes them out. Mm-hmm. You leave them to their own devices, nature will wipe them out. Whereas plants that are grown, you know, where we encourage the natural ecosystem, plants grow a lot healthier. You don't need the artificial fertilizers. You don't need the herbicide and fungicide and other biocides, pesticides to nurture the plant. The plant is actually quite healthy because it has the ecosystem which nourishes it. And the same works in our body. So if we build the right ecosystem, infection can't arise. And if it happened to arise, the body would deal with it very simply, very easily. But it arises because we have denatured the ecosystem with us and filled our body with poisons and the wrong foodstuffs, which accumulates as a waste product within the tissues and cells of our body. And the way the body gets rid of those when it can't expel them through the normal avenues of elimination, which are, you know, the lungs through the breath, the liver through the bowels and the colon, the kidneys, you know, the bloodstream into the kidneys and then now out through the bladder and also through our skin, right? If our body can't do it through those channels, then it has to do it through other means, and that will be it will initiate an action in the body to break down substances that won't fit out through those pathways because they're designed for removal of certain substances and other substances just don't fit. So it has to create another outlet. Mm. Bacteria and that come in and consume it. They use their own enzymes to start to break it down. Mm-hmm. Right, and break these things down so that they can then be excreted. And what happens then is the body opens up a channel of excretion, and that could be through any mucous membrane anywhere in our body, mm-hmm. right? So the lungs and respiratory tract, anywhere in the digestive tract from the mouth to the anus, in the women's reproductive tract, right? You know, in the inner ear and middle ear complex, the conjunctiva of the eye, anywhere, any membrane, even a membrane in the brain, right? The meninges of the brain can become inflamed and a means to take out toxic matter. But what happens is when we get that inflammation, whatever tissue has been seconded into that operation undergoes a period of temporary destruction, right, or deconstruction, because it's now undergoing a purification process, and the body will then eliminate these toxins out through that the modified action of that tissue. While that's happening, that tissue is no longer functional. So those tissues become less functional during that process. If that's in a critical tissue, right, then that could be harmful to us. You know, for instance, if it's in the meninges of the brain in a critical area of the brain, you're going to temporarily lose function in that part of the brain. That's when people panic. That's when they start to apply different types of medicines to interrupt the process. But what normally happens is that part of the that tissue structure is left in a state of permanent disablement because it hasn't been allowed to complete its purification process.
So the antibiotics interrupt the process. So then it's permanently disabled, right?
Well, and it's in some cases it is permanently disabled, like the people who were left paralyzed after being treated with the medicines and all that they'll be treated with polio.
Right.
It was actually the treatment with pharmaceuticals that left those people permanently paralyzed.
But polio was a hygiene problem, right?
Polio was actually poisoning through pesticides.
DDT.
Really?
Yeah, DDT was the main one. But you'd find it's not just DDT, and there will be other toxins that would do it as well, but DDT was the main one.
So let's talk a little bit about viruses, right?
So yeah, I was going to go there next.
If we look at the French influenza, right, and its time period, which I think was about 18 months.
French
influenza. So it was influenza, right? And I think it was called, was it the Spanish?
You mean the Spanish?
Sorry, my bad.
I was going to say.
The Spanish, poor fucking French. Sorry, my bad. The Spanish influenza, right? When that occurred, I mean, if we look through history and time, they generally have about an 18-month cycle, viruses. And it seems we have this desire to immediately, you know, we have this COVID situation now, and what happens is, it, obviously the pharmaceutical companies are coming in and wanting to say, look, this is what you need to do. So can we talk first off briefly about viruses?
Like, what is a virus?
What is a virus? What is its life cycle?
What it's supposed to do?
What its purpose is. And then also why people need to look at what they're doing when they're going to take a vaccination against something such as a virus. Can we talk, lean into that?
Sure. Well, a virus, firstly, isn't alive. It's not a living thing. So, and that's universally agreed upon. It is a part of a cell. It is a cell. It is a structure or a complex created by a cell. Mm-hmm. These things don't just come into being by themselves. They don't make themselves. They are made. So we go back to the fundamental premise of life. What is the action of life? Life seeks to preserve itself. So it doesn't create a virus to cause harm, for starters, because it's not what life does. Right? These are the distortions in consciousness that wounded people carry, and fear complexes, neuroses that people carry that they project onto life because their traumas, their fears, their damage creates these stories and prohibits them from seeing clearly. But a virus isn't alive. It's a tool created by living cells. So it can't act alone. It doesn't act alone, right? It can only be co-opted into normal cellular action within a living body, right? So it's a living body that takes a virus and utilizes it. Now, what is it actually? It is a solvent. For all intents and purposes, a virus is not a living thing. It's a solvent. So when a body is extremely toxic, such that life processes are shutting down and you know, severely compromised, when our enzyme spectrum isn't capable of detoxing the body, and not only that, when bacteria, you know, so when our enzyme potential isn't capable of dissolving waste products and extraneous substances introduced into the domain of our body, when our enzyme complexes aren't capable of breaking those down and eliminating them through the normal channels, we co-opt the ecosystem, the bacteria, into that process, and they start to break it down, and then we eliminate it through other means, and all those other means are the parts that are ugly and and uncomfortable, and they're the parts we attack with our pharmaceuticals. So in effect, we are denying the body's attempts to purify and cleanse its own tissues so that life may be perpetuated and move to a higher level of function anytime we interfere with any life action. Now, when the bacteria that we are co-opted into that process aren't capable of doing the same thing themselves, then the body, as a last-ditch effort, creates and replicates viruses, which are solvents, to start to break down diseased and dead tissue, right, dissolve them completely, and then eject them out of the body so that tissue may restore normal function.
So is this why we're saying, just to keep it as simple as we can for people to understand, is this what you're saying here, is this why people that seem to be dying from COVID are that they're the ones that are less healthy, are more toxified, so they're more susceptible to what it's doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah. So the body is undergoing kind of like a last-ditch effort to try and restore normal function. And it's unfortunate that at some point the life forces give out. At some point the problem is too complex for the life forces to solve. Mm-hmm. Now you might say, well, at that point, artifice, you know, medicine can save us at that point. And it's true, you know, maybe it can, but what about the quality of life? Life, you know, at that point, you know, people can barely walk, people can barely think straight, you know, they've got dementia, they're doped up on all sorts of things. What is their quality of life? Because mm-hmm. we're extending it, because naturally life would have just terminated it. Mm-hmm. You know, life just would have just said, okay, the show is over, right? There is nothing consciousness can further do in this organism, mm-hmm. right? And so it's time for it to leave, start over, reset the loop, mm-hmm. right? Let's try again. Mm-hmm. Let's try and learn from our mistakes. Mm-hmm. Right. So all we're doing is preventing that from happening, really. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's merit to all that. I'm not saying that there aren't cases for it. Mm-hmm. But that in effect is what we're doing. And so viruses cannot proliferate because they are proliferated by the living body for the purposes of restoration of life functions. So
can they be transmitted to another person?
No, I don't think so.
So tell me about then the concept of a vaccine being created.
And, I mean, if they can be transmitted to another person, again, and this is all specious science. When you start to drill down into this science, it's very shonky. It's very shoddy. I mean, you can take a bacterium into you, but it's not necessarily going to cause disease because it's not its role to cause disease. Its role is to break down complex substances into simple ones so they can rejoin the circle of life, mm-hmm. right? And it's the same thing with a virus. If you can take, because a virus is particular to a certain cellular DNA signature. Mm-hmm. So it's made by a cell for that living organism. So even if it does come into another body, who's to say that it's even going to be able to do anything in that body? Mm-hmm. And if it does, that body has to decide that there is some benefit to doing it, mm-hmm. right? The life forces within the body have to decide that there's a need to replicate it. Mm-hmm. It can't force replication because it's dead. It's inert. Yes. It's like saying the pharmaceutical acts in your body. You take the pharmaceutical and the pharmaceutical does this. But the pharmaceutical is dead. It has no power to act. Right? The all action is given by the power of life. So it's only the living that can act.
So then if you're taking a Panadol, I know we want to go down the vaccine road, but if we're taking a Panadol, right, you're saying the Panadol isn't doing anything. It's what's happening around that that's making that something happen. Can you explain that?
Yeah, well, the body uptakes the Panadol, right? The Panadol has a certain structure and is created to have a certain affinity to different tissue structures in the body, right? So it is the body that uptakes the Panadol, mm-hmm. right? And it is the life which distributes it based on the affinity of it. So, because if the person was dead,
that wouldn't happen.
That couldn't happen.
Do anything. Right.
The Panadol would not be digested. It would not be uptaken by the body. It would not be distributed. It can't be. Mm-hmm.
So, when you take the Panadol, the body behaves a certain way, which alleviates the pain.
Yes.
Right.
So, what's the problem then with taking some of those sorts of medications?
Well, they have toxic effects.
Yeah.
For starters.
Do you know what?
So they.
Can I just say something, actually? Yeah. I've experienced, like, I was, when I was on that, I was really raw. I was clean. I had not had any meat or cooked foods for at least maybe 3 months. And then I was getting this pain, and it was really severe. I'd never take Panadol unless it's really, I feel like it's really severe. But I remember one time that I had been eating really cleanly and I'd taken a Panadol and I could feel it going through my body. I literally could feel, I felt like there were toxins going through my whole body because of, and I don't remember what was happening, but I just remember.
I remember that.
I remember telling you, I remember saying, that. Oh my God, I've taken this and it literally feels like I'm being poisoned from within. And I've never felt it before or since, but I remember feeling it at that particular time because of that. But anyway, carry on. Sorry, so what were you saying?
Well, firstly, they have toxic effects because mm-hmm. they have to be metabolized by the liver and excreted by the body. So it overburdens the liver. And, you know, there's the paracetamol, there's the ibuprofen and aspirin and all this type of stuff, and they are known to have toxic effects on the liver and predispose people to other conditions. Right. Particularly children are quite vulnerable. And when you mix them with vaccines, all sorts of other things start to happen. So so there's that. They're just toxic.
Right.
The other thing is if you're interfering with proper nerve action, if you're dulling the nerves, it's actually the nerves that are providing the signals for your body to regenerate itself. Mm. So you're also interfering with regeneration. Thirdly, pain is there to let you know that something is wrong. Mm. It stops you behaving in a way that will cause you more harm. So if you're deadening that sense, you are quite possibly causing yourself more harm mm-hmm. and or not acting in a way which is most conducive to healing yourself. Mm-hmm. And then fourthly, pleasure and pain are two sides of the same coin. If you're numbing yourself so that you can't feel pain, you're numbing yourself so that you can't feel pleasure, you end up basically numb.
100%. Definitely.
And so we have a society that is chronically numbed and seeking more intense stimulants and activities and food items of stimulation in order to offset the numbness so they actually feel something. And most of those things are toxic and damaging to the body and being as well.
So if you had a kid, right, for example, who's got a tooth coming through and they're screaming with pain and you're suggesting obviously that that the Panadol is toxic. What would you do? What are the sorts of things you recommend instead of using the pharmaceutical alternatives?
Well, I'm sure there are actually lots of natural remedies mm-hmm. which are available that can numb the that can numb the gums a little bit. So and in fact, there is a herb called toothache plant.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a herb called toothache plant. I forget what its Latin name is, but you literally you take it in and you chew it, and it sends your gums numb, sends your mouth numb.
Wow.
And I mean, that was one of the natural remedies that could be used for that. But beyond all that, the higher, broader vision is actually that a human that is healthy and that has all its faculties online. And these include its etheric nature is empowered, because there, you know, we talk about the vital body or the etheric body, and just like the physical body has many layers, you know, it has the skeletal system, it has the vascular system, it has the digestive system, it has the integumentary system, the skin, you know, the cardiopulmonary system, and all these types. It has all these different, the nervous system, it has all these different layers to it. So does the vital body. It has all these different layers. Now, when all of those are actualized, the health and regenerative capabilities of the human body would be phenomenal. It would be almost godlike. And, you know, we wouldn't have teething problems.
Right.
You know, the emergence of teeth through the gums wouldn't even be a problem for us.
I know, but we're not there.
We're not there.
We're not there. So we got to think.
Grow a toothache plant.
We got to think about it. We got to think about our audience here, and I really want to make sure that we don't, guys, fear away. Sorry. So I want to think about our audience here, and we got to think about, in layman's terms, people are on this particular podcast here today because we were going to talk about these things.
Yeah.
And I think we need to talk about them.
What's that?
Well, I think we need to talk about the concept of these vaccines. What's your throw on these vaccines?
Okay, he wants to go vaccines.
I do want to go vaccine because I think it's important
to talk
about
it too. But I was just getting to there, Mitch. Jumping right into the middle of things instead of leading into it.
Why not?
So let's talk, Darren.
We're 5 hours leading into it. I've grown a beard here. I'm trying to get into it.
Okay, so let's talk about vaccines. I think we should start, because we started at the beginning, with the generic stuff rather than talking about specifically about the COVID stuff. I think that's not different, but I think if we get the generic stuff, so that people understand that we're not just talking about this particular one, that vaccines in general,
And keep it as simple as we can.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about why all these people, they have done experiments where they have taken the pustulant material and they have taken, cold and flu secretions from people. And they have sprayed it up people's noses and stuck it down their throats. They've done all these types of things, and they haven't been able to reproduce the disease in those people or the illness in those people, right? And you can do the same with bacteria. In fact, you can take the swab from an average person's throat and you'll probably find diphtheria in it, and you'll find different things. You'll probably find typhus in people's digestive tracts and typhoid in people's, lungs and tuberculosis, I should say, in people's lungs. You find those things in there, but they're all kept in check. They're all part of the natural ecosystem, right?
I think that's a very important point. Just to
what
start
that off. Means so, is that they're all part of the ecosystem, meaning they're all part of your form.
Well, then, correct.
Well, you've got it, but it doesn't mean like you might have it, but you're not experiencing symptoms, or you're not. Your body has got it sussed and sorted.
Well, the disease is the imbalance that we create.
Yeah,
and we create it first in our mind by trying to create structures that are in violations of the laws of nature, and we create it in our bodies by violating the laws of physiology and our vital nature that deplete the energies and the substance of the organism, right? So they both work together, and that's what creates disease. So we create it. Those things themselves don't create disease. Mm-hmm. Like if we create the environment in our lungs for those tuberculi bacilli to proliferate, they're just cleaning house of a toxic environment on the lungs that we've already created.
Right.
So so when you have clusters of people getting sick, what you have is, firstly, people living in similar conditions and living similar lifestyles, so that the conditions are rife for all these people coming down with the same type of response of the life forces of the body.
Like measles, right? Or whatever, chickenpox or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you also have a law of resonance in consciousness. So the law of sympathetic resonance is basically a corollary of the law of cause and effect.
Right.
Right. So, you know, tuning forks that tune the same will all sound together when a certain frequency is played through.
Yeah.
Right. And the same holds for our human bodies. We're all tuning forks, right? And consciousnesses that resonate together, right, will create the same types of conditions.
So that same, that's the thing that you use. A guitar's on one side, another guitar's on the other side of the ring. You pluck one string on that guitar, the other one vibrates at the same level.
Yeah. Yeah. So all these people, not only are they violating the laws of life in the same way and living in the same conditions, but they're all under the belief that they're going to be attacked by something called a virus and that it's deadly and they have no defense against it.
Right.
And so they create, you know, they through fear, they devitalize themselves. They open up their defenses and they literally invite it in. They create it. It's self-created. Mm-hmm. All of it is self-created because it's the self that is the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it creates through laws of magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, it brings things together to create,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it will create constructively or destructively based on the material that is it contains, the information that it contains.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it behoves us to become more conscious, so that we can remove unconscious destructive influences within our own being that create the problems that we're trying to avoid but continually run into because we just, not aware.
So this is kind of like why, you know, it people watching the news are just being programmed all the time, you know, and they're resonating locally and non-locally, near and far in space and time, which is causing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that gets back to the fact that people have to understand you are creating your fucking reality. Nobody is doing it to you. You're doing it. And if you jump on board with everybody else, and that's so therefore it's very easy for anybody who's in control of that mix to drop anything into that mix. So now we drop in this problem here, and now we, you know, like a virus, we spread it through the whole humanity. Everybody gets scared, and hey, guess what? We've come up with a way to respond to it. And here we go. This will help you with your fucking illness and with your virus and with your sickness. And now we have a market. You know, now. I mean, am I right or am I wrong?
No, it's right.
Yeah. Now we got a market. Now we got. You know, I liken it. Have you ever seen a movie? I say this all the time to people. Blazing Saddles.
I'm sure I have seen it.
It's like it's.
I know there's a very famous
Mel Brooks. Very funny movie. And it's a comedy, and it's Mel Brooks who was satirical, but he was also a brilliant, you know, he was Jewish, a brilliant mind, like a brilliant mind. And he just took the piss out of everything and everybody and every concept. And there's a scene where there's the guy rides into town on the cart, you know, and he's got all these bottles of medicine. And he calls everybody around and he starts telling them all they're all sick. And he's got this from the Indians, and it's, you put it on, it's going to cure your ball patch and it's going to cure this. It kind of seems like that fucker has got in control. Do you know what I mean? Somebody gave him a pharmaceutical company and off he went. Do you know what I mean? I sit back and I think, these are the guys that are now running the show. You know, like it seems that these are the guys that are now running the show.
And we're all capitalism.
Yeah, and we're all, everybody, well, I'm trying my best not to, but everybody's swallowing that pill, you know, that, which is just crazy.
So, you know, it was Rockefellers, John D. Rockefeller, who, because they own Standard Oil,
mm-hmm.
you know, these guys are responsible for all sorts of mayhem on this planet. You know, they owned the monopoly. They had Standard Oil. And even when that was broken up, they still controlled all the subsidiary interests that it was broken up to. So it just moved it underneath the off the table and out of sight, but it was still controlled by them. They realized that they could peddle a vial of crude oil with a 10,000% markup as a cure for cancer, and that people would buy it.
Mm.
that was called, it was called Nujol, N-U-J-O-L. And learning that, they decided to invest into the medical field and create pharmaceuticals, which are actually made from petrochemical products, a lot of them initially, and you know, and heavy metal products. And they were designed to interrupt the body's natural process, because if they could interrupt the body's natural process, then whatever that was considered a disease. If they could interrupt it, then you were considered to be cured. And but then what you'd get are sequelae of problems that would arrive, because the body trying to clean house just simply must find another avenue to clean house. Mm-hmm. And then you attack that one, and then you attack that one. So all these acute healing crises that the body is undergoing, trying to purify structure and improve function, ends up in a chronic disease process that ultimately leads us in our old age, decrepit and senile, and functioning less than optimally, when we should actually be vitally healthy right up to our final days. And then very quickly in the last weeks of life, the vital forces leave us, and we there's no suffering, right? And we should be living a lot longer. But it was the Rockefellers who then, you know, through their philanthrocapitalism, created their foundations and used their tax money that they would have paid as tax, put it into their foundation to philanthropically fund the building of universities and medical facilities and medical research centers and hospitals based on the pharmaceutical model of medicine, and who they hired a scientist by the name of Flexner. Was it William Flexner? I can't remember what his first name was. It was Flexner, the Flexner Report. They hired a scientist to write a report called the Flexner Report, where it was recommended through a study that the best form of medicine, or the best form of healthcare for the people, was pharmaceutical care. Get it ratified by Congress, just by greasing palms, and then all of a sudden you've got the field of medicine is protected by law, and all the other natural fields of healing are then pushed away, mm-hmm. because they're not backed by science. But of course, science has now been hijacked. It's bought and paid for, and by the people whose interest it is to sell products to a captured market, because they can't heal you. Only the life force can heal you.
So can we go back to vaccines then and talk to me about what actually happens when they inject that into the body?
Have you had a look at the actual vaccine?
Well, I'm not talking COVID specifically. Yep. I'm talking about
genetic. Yeah, because you couldn't call them vaccines.
They're not vaccines. COVID, they're experimental agents.
They're treatments.
Yeah, they're not vaccines. But they're calling it a vaccine, obviously, but that's not what they are.
So with vaccines, and again, they're built on the faulty premise of the germ theory, that germs attack you and kill you and create these diseases and then kill you. And if you don't stop them, then you're going to end up with all sorts of problems. When in actual fact, the germs are the last resort of the body that is toxic. And they actually help the body clean house, so that at the other side of the infection, you are left more functional and your mind is sharper. And you see that in children, and you see that in people who allow that process to be undergone.
Yes.
But based on the theory that germs are harmful to us, what they do is they try and stimulate the immune system to recognize that germ when it enters the body and to mount an immune response. So they take that germ or that pathogen and they inject it into the body, past all the natural defenses that the body would have that would mitigate that pathogen ever entering the body in the first place. So firstly it enters the body in an unnatural way, right? Secondly, it enters it probably in an unnatural form. Then they also have with it other compounds like preservatives, like
mercury,
you know. Yeah, and you know, mercury is a preservative, and mercury was also used to attenuate or kill anything that might have been living because it's poisonous. The same thing is aluminium. Aluminium is used for, and they're called adjuvants. And what they also do is they excite an inflammatory response in the body, because what they found was when they just injected the plain pathogen, nothing really happened. The body didn't mount an inflammatory response. And that's how they measure whether or not the vaccine is working by the antibodies, which is an inflammatory response in the body.
Wow.
And so the vaccines target the, I think it's called the, it's TG, no, it's TH, the TH2 arm of the immune system. There's TH1 and TH2. TH1 is the innate immune system of the cells of your body, and TH2 is the it's an inflammatory arm of the body, right? So when the body receives a pathogen through the normal channels, it excites the TH1 arm, so you get innate cellular immunity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when things enter the body through unnatural means, the body mounts an inflammatory response against those foreign particles or substances, because the inflammatory response is the cleaning response of the body's tissues.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So that's the TH2 arm. So vaccines, by injecting foreign proteins and foreign particles into the body, initiate an inflammatory response, an inflammatory cascade in the body in the TH2 arm. So it's not true innate cellular immunity. It is indiscriminate inflammation created in the body. So now what happens is these, I mean, aluminium is neurotoxic. So is mercury. It is the most toxic non-radioactive substance that naturally occurs, mm-hmm. that we could even put near the body. There are other things also in the vaccines. They're like polyethylene glycol, mm-hmm. right, as a preservative, which people have anaphylactic shocks to. Sorbate 80, otherwise known as polysorbate 80, it's called. It has another name. Tween 80 is another name. And, I mean, they use that as a preservative, yet they know that it opens up the blood-brain barrier. Mm. So why on earth would you want to include that in a vaccine? Mm. Like, it's insane that you would want to open up the blood-brain barrier and allow known neurotoxins, which are the adjuvants like aluminium and mercury, and they have an affinity for the nervous system. They damage the nervous system. Why would you want that stuff going into the brain? The work of Dr. Christopher Exley, who was the world's preeminent expert on aluminium toxicity in the field of biology, right, and physiology, has done autopsies on the brains of autistic casualties. And the level of aluminium in these people's brains is off the charts, mm-hmm. absolutely off the charts. Mm-hmm. Right. And the same is true in Alzheimer's patients.
So the question lies then, right? So people, like the thing that astounds, I don't know what it is, but people are getting this information dripped to them, right? What we're talking about now, right? And they're starting to question, right? But they'll go and do it anyway. It's like,
why? Because they're programmed. They're programmed. They're indoctrinated. And so they can't get – there's a cognitive dissonance that happens.
Yeah.
And they haven't yet developed themselves to the point where they can bypass, you know, that conditioning. Mm. They haven't yet had an experience intense enough mm-hmm. to shake themselves out of that conditioning. Mm.
But it's also like they subordinate to their GP. You know, they subordinate to the fucking. Yeah,
it's also intellectual laziness.
Yeah, of course. But they subordinate to the reporter on the television.
But they don't think that it's intellectual laziness.
They think that the GP knows.
Well, no, they think they've done their research or whatever. Now, I'm not saying I'm an expert either, but I get that doing the research and going to somebody who has a vested interest in a particular outcome isn't the right place to do your research. Do you know what I mean? That's the same for anybody. Mm, mm. But like,
no, correct.
Like if I'm going to go to the GP for the you know, I'm going to choose the Pfizer vaccine over the AstraZeneca vaccine or the Moderna vaccine over the Pfizer vaccine. Like, it's like at the end of the day, you're choosing, like, I don't know. It's, I don't know.
But they think that's the research. That's not the research. That's not the research. That's not.
In any case, you can take any of those studies and you can really drill down into them, and they are flawed. They are flawed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's really, really shonky, shoddy science that is, it is pushed in a certain direction in order to get the results that they want. And not only that, sometimes the conclusions completely countermand the results that they actually do get, mm-hmm. you know, and they say, oh, well, therefore it's this. And all they're doing is touting their narrative anyway, because who's actually checking?
Yeah.
You know, peer review is basically just gatekeepers. And, you know, now we have the high and almighty fact checkers from, you know, that the social media giants are employing. And they're being, you know, if anyone actually goes and does their research and has a look at the great investigative journalists who are exposing all these fact checkers, you know, to not actually doing anything and just promoting the narrative and the bias anyway, if people can get past their cognitive dissonance and their programming, you know, it's almost like a Stockholm syndrome, that these people wouldn't hurt us.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is.
These people wouldn't hurt us, you know.
That's exactly what I hear. I know I get it a lot from I think the point of view of people in my family is shifting, but what I hear a lot is that they wouldn't lie. There must be some truth to it if everybody's pushing the vaccine. They can't see, for me, how I see it is that if it's something that naturally people will want to do, then I think I'm going down a different path, but I'm just going to say it anyway. In terms of everything that's going on with the whole COVID thing, right, I'm not saying that a virus is there or not there. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is the fact that the way that it's been created, it's made it sound like it's this, people are dying in the street, people are falling off like flies. If that sort of thing is actually going on, why are we still having football games and tennis matches, and why is all this other stuff going on, and why do people need to be coerced into taking something that is going to supposedly help them? People would be lining up to do it, but there's obviously some discrepancies going on here.
Well, I think it's like you said, it's cognitive dissonance. I think have the injection or don't have the injection,
it doesn't matter.
What I feel is, like, I feel for people that, like, the thing they're trying to prolong is perhaps the thing that's gonna, and what they're taking to prolong is that perhaps the thing that's gonna harm them anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The fact that the world is being guinea pigged, like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I was just talking to Greg, who's in Udaipur at the moment, and he was saying to me that they've just said now in India that now there's a kid strain, and now they're going to vaccinate all the kids. Like, which is just
But you have to look at who's saying this. It's the media that's saying it, because. Yeah. Because I've seen plenty of reports from people who are actually on the ground there, and they come back and they say, "Look, none of this is not happening."
Like, I spoke to Greg only 3 weeks ago, and he said to me, "Mitch, everything they're showing you on the media in India," he said, "they're showing you images of hospitals." He's like, "That's a fucking Indian hospital all the time. There's 80,000 people a week cross. I think it's either a week or a day cross the border into India." Now, my experience of driving past hospitals in India is there were fucking bodies everywhere. There was people everywhere, and they couldn't get in fast enough. They couldn't get out fast enough, and that was normal. So it's
people in the slums bury their dead on the riverbanks, and they get washed up and they float down the river.
You've seen the bodies. I've seen the bodies.
Yeah. So let's. I get that we're going down this this path, and I understand why. But let's just bring it back down to the natural, what actually is happening, and why we are what we can do.
Yeah.
Like, what sorts of things, like. If people, because here's my absolute truth, right? Regardless of who takes what and what they're doing, I feel like whether they're taking a vaccine, this is either childhood vaccines or this COVID one, whether they're taking a vaccine or not, they're both doing it for the same reason. I think that the people who take the vaccine are doing it because they have a perception that it's going to help them and prolong their life. The people who don't do it because they have a perception that it's going to help them and prolong their life, right? So for me, on a absolutely personal level, I would literally rather that get COVID and have it and be done with it than have a vaccine, because I know there's a 99.9% chance I'm going to survive, as well as the fact that I know what vaccines do. I've seen it too many times in the people that we have worked with at our clients. I've seen what they do. So I think that my truth about it is that people do it for the same reason. Mm-hmm. They do it or they don't do it for the same reason. However, from this, I think we need to figure out what can people take away from this in terms of, we touched on the polio thing before, right? And we touched on the fact that the vaccine wasn't – everyone trots out the polio thing. Whenever I question a vaccine thing, right, and for me, 15 years ago, someone said about vaccines and I'm like, of course you have to vaccinate, like da-da-da-da. Now I have a different perspective. But everybody trots out as soon as you mention vaccines, as soon as you question it. Now, science to me is meant to be questioned. But as soon as you question a vaccine, they trot out the whole polio. Oh, what about polio? If we didn't have that, then, you know, you guys should be grateful. Or those people who've never, you know, you touch medication ever again or whatever. What would you say to people that are curious and that want to start asking questions that perhaps they haven't asked before in terms of how they affect the human body in terms of vaccines?
There is so much literature out there on what vaccines do. There are so many doctors and scientists speaking out about them. It's like you really have to not be trying that hard to not find the right material, mm-hmm. right, to tell you how they actually work and how they function and what they're doing and what they're doing in the body, right? You have to not really be trying. You have to almost – there must be some unconscious driver in you to keep the status quo, because it's there. And anyone who truly, most people get hurt first. They get harmed by the vaccines, or they witness harm in another. And so then they start digging. Yeah. Now they've already seen it.
Yeah.
So they know that harm is real. And so perhaps it's from witnessing that there is a conviction which happens in their own soul forces, mm-hmm. that navigates them then towards the information which reveals the truth. But people who don't really want to see it, or might have some unconscious motivation to not see it, they're going to have all sorts of unconscious resistances not to find the information. And consciousness is just reflective, you know. It will reveal, you know, just it reveals itself. They have to, you know, you have to want to see it.
You have to be open. And usually,
it's only those people who suffer that have any motivation to really, really.
This is a point. This is a point here that I just want to touch on before we finish up. That a lot of the stuff that we've got going on in that we count as natural now. Things like autism, cancer, autoimmune diseases, all of these things, we consider them as just part of life. And I don't think that anybody has done, like, you talk about the fact that the blood-brain barrier being affected, it creates the autoimmune problems that we have. Isn't that correct, mm-hmm. Darren? It's that
part. That creates the damage to the brain. So autism and other degenerations in the brain, but the autoimmune problems come in because, you know, we eat in a way which damages the gap junctions in the digestive tract.
Right.
Right. And so they become inflamed and they open up. Glyphosate is a big one for that. You know, anything drenched in glyphosate. And so gluten, grains and GMO foods opens up those gap junctions in the gut. But anything that causes inflammation, and processed sugars will do that, drugs will do that, alcohol will do that, all these things damage these tight gap junctions. And then you have undigested proteins going into the body. Now, all you have to do is create an indiscriminate inflammatory response in the body through a vaccine, through the adjuvants, which are these heavy metals and other toxins which are included with the vaccines to excite that inflammatory response.
Right.
And now you have the body's immune system with a heightened alertness going into and being activated and seeing all these proteins in the body that naturally come in or that have come in through the opening of the tight gap junctions of the gut, right? And they start saying, okay, foreign protein, foreign protein, foreign protein, foreign protein, attack, 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 attack. And so they start attacking undigested food particles, and then you start to get allergies towards certain foods. These foreign proteins, particularly adjuvants, have a synergy with certain tissue structures in the body. They lodge into those structures. So the body recognizes that as a foreign protein. The peaked immune system starts then attacking its own tissues. So that's what's creating the autoimmune diseases and the neurology, because the vaccines create indiscriminate in inflammation in the body that confuses the immune system,
right,
that then goes about attacking its own tissues and creating allergies by recognizing foreign food particles that then get introduced into the body again, and the immune system just says, nah, attack, 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 and you create cytokine storms and all this type of stuff. So it can all be reset. But you have to rebuild the microbiome, and you have to undergo a certain period of detoxification and start to allow life to restore balance. So it can be done.
Right.
But most people are afraid of pain. People are afraid of debilitation. I mean, you know, we don't like to be in pain, and we don't like to be debilitated. We don't like to lose weight excessively. You know, you get very thin when you go through a detoxification process. And people equate that with, you know, Auschwitz survivors, because we've been programmed with all those images,
yep,
you know, all that type of stuff. We just like to have people see us as being empowered and in control. And then we've had the fear of God put into us that when these conditions arise in us, that if we don't deal with them with pharmaceuticals, let's go for that definition too, if we don't deal with them with pharmaceuticals, then we're going to end up dead, right? So anytime something like this happens in the body, we have to stop it, because otherwise it's going to end in death for us. We've been programmed that, you know, we're going to die if we don't interfere, you know. So therefore we take antibiotics, therefore we take painkillers, therefore we do this, we do that. We interfere with all the natural life processes of the body that are attempting to restore natural normal function and homeostasis.
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible to eliminate once a person is vaccinated with any vaccination, do you think it's possible for the body to eliminate
the toxins? To
some extent, the damage is done, but you can regenerate to a large degree, and it depends on how early you get it and to what lengths you're prepared to go to allow your body to heal. But yes, healing is possible. That is the unconditional love of this creative force, is that as soon as you align with it, as soon as you align with the laws of its operations, it will go about healing you and moving you back towards the perfect type. Whether or not you have enough time and vital energy and, you know, you've removed enough other extraneous influences to allow that to go to a stage of completion is another matter entirely. But it will continue to attempt to do that up until its last literal breath, you know. So, and that's unconditional love in operation, right? It's our friend continuously, always. It never turns against us. We, in our ignorance, turn against it, the other way around.
I think that's a really important point. I think that's a good way to end this podcast, Darren. We could talk, as we can tell, we've been talking for ages today. We could talk for hours about this. I think that was awesome. Do you have anything anything else you wanted to add before we finished up?
I mean, I could jump on and do.
Can we talk about the definition of a vaccine? Not a vaccine, a pharmaceutical.
Yeah. Yes, go.
So, pharmaceutical comes from a more ancient word. So, pharmaceutical comes from a more ancient word, pharmakon, and then pharmakia. And the meaning of pharmakia is to the first meaning in the ancient Greek lexicon is to give medicine or give a pharmaceutical, right? But you go down to the second meaning, which was the meaning that was ascribed to it before we impose the next meaning on it, and that means to poison, right? And you go down to the third definition, which is the definition that came before it meant to poison, was sorcery Yeah. Right. And the one before that means the deceptions or seductions of idolatry. Right. So sorcery, particularly in relations to idolatry.
Well, explain idolatry.
So idolatry is the worshipping of false idols. So when you are seduced and deceived by an idol, what you've done is given your power away to it, right, in the belief that it will give you or grant you some type of power, right? So that's what sorcery is. Sorcery is stealing power away, you know, and taking it for oneself. It's, you know, by inculcating in the others the belief in its power. And so sorcery is basically the stealing of power. And so really with what you're doing with the pharmaceutical is you are poisoning life processes, right? Because you're giving your power away to this dead thing outside of you. So you're investing your power in this idol in the belief that it will give you something, in the belief that it will cure you. But what it actually does is interrupt life processes. It poisons them, right? So in that fact, it steals you, robs you of your power and inculcates in consciousness a belief in something which of which it cannot give, right? And that's where you lose your power, and that's the deception and the seductions of idolatry. And that's basically what pharmaceutical medicine is ultimately about. There is a very nasty, distortive influence that has infiltrated into humanity's consciousness to bring this expression out. It's a natural part of our evolution. Now, there are far better procedures and practices that we can engage in. And it's not to say that medicine doesn't have a role and a place within our society.
Yeah.
The treatment of disease is dark ages voodoo, really, and creates more problems. But when it comes to dealing with physical trauma through injury, you know, an accident, then medicine is brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah.
You know, because we have to give the body some support in that instance.
Yeah.
So it has its place, and even pharmaceuticals has its place then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say, though, that there aren't better technologies using light and sound that will far exceed the capacities of our chemical concoctions called pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
And we will. We'll get there. But, you know, yeah, so I just wanted to make that clarification.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool.
You know.
Thanks so much, Darren.
Is it cold there, Darren?
That was
yeah, it does good. Get a bit chilly here.
It looks like it's getting a bit cold. Right. We've got more to talk about. We've got a whole heap of other things that we could have added here, but we don't have another 3 hours, so we'll leave it at that for now, and then we'll come back and have a chat with you about the rabbit hole about a few other things. I'd really like to talk about a few other things.
What are we going to talk about next?
Well, I didn't get to ask about a stack of stuff, like different types of medications. Like, I specifically want to talk about the reproductive system, the female reproductive system, and the pill and stuff like that, because I know that a lot of people are impacted by that. And then I also want to go down the path of the monetary systems and the governmental systems and stuff that I know that that's going to blow people's minds as well, the way you
speak
about
thank
it.
You
so
for
I'm really excited to touch base with that next
thank you
time.
For your humility and your balanced view on things, Darren. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much
Thanks,
for
guys.
Your time,
Thanks,
Darren.
Buddy.
Cheers.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.